Okay, we're doing Tehilim, chapter 12, Perek Yud Bet. Lam Natzeach, the praise to the conductor, Al Hashem Nit, who's responsible for the harp that has 8 strings, Mizmor le David, the song compiled for by David. Hoshia Hashem, rescue Hashem, ki gamar chasid, for the righteous people have been wiped out. There are none, no righteous left, no pious people left. Kifasu emonim ibne adam, the trustworthy people have become extinct. Emonim, people who are amin, you could rely on, they have been fasu, they have become extinct, they've been wiped out from mankind. Everywhere I turn, there are liars, everyone's deceitful. David HaMelech was tricked and deceived by many people. We will see it, God willing, this coming week. We will begin on Sunday the chase between Shaul and David and all the people who try to put knives in David's back. Shav yidaberu ish et reyehu, they speak falsely one to his friend, sfat chalakot, their lips are smooth, belev alev yidaberu, they speak as though they have 2 hearts. They say one thing, they mean another. They're tricky, they're liars. Yachret Hashem kol siftei chalakot, Hashem should destroy, cut off all these smooth lips. Lashon medaberet gudolot, the tongue that speaks greatly, proudly. Asher amru, that these people, they say, lilshoneinu nagbir sefateinu itanu, we will overcome with our tongue, with our lips, by speaking badly about David, by giving away where David is hiding, by speaking, we will overcome, we will win. Mi Adon lanu, who is master over us? We can do whatever we want. So the focus of this chapter, David HaMelech is focusing about people who are harmful with the way they speak. People who are deceitful, people who speak badly about him, dilatura, they give over lashon hara about him. And these people are harmful in their speech, not only to him, but David continues, pasuk vav, mishod aniyim, from the poors, the poor people being robbed, may enkatev yonim, from the crying out of the paupers, Ata akum yomar Hashem, now I will arise, Hashem says. Ashit beyesha, I will place with my salvation, I will rescue them. Yafiach lo, Hashem will say to them. The word yafiach we encounter many times in Mishle. It means to speak. Literally it means to give off air. But when one speaks, air comes out of his mouth. So that's why speech is also called lafiach. When you learn about it in halacha, the term hafachat, lafiach, means to pass air. It's a nice way of saying it. But in Tanakh, the word yafiach means to pass air through the mouth, to talk. Imarot Hashem, amarot tehorot. The sayings of Hashem, what Hashem says is pure. Unlike man, who can be deceitful, who can lie, who can say lashon hara, who can make promises and not keep them. When God says something, it's pure. God's tongue is pure. We find throughout the Torah God uses a pure tongue. The Torah describes the animals that are pure and the animals that are not pure. The Torah tries not to say the word tameh when it doesn't have to, trying to use a pure tongue to say things in a positive fashion. When you want to give an example of what's going on in the army, so you could try and say the positive of what's going on in the army. Of course there are other examples to give. Jeff, that one was for you. But the candy. Imrot Hashem amarot torot. The sayings of Hashem are pure sayings. When God says something, he can stand by his promise. Kesef tzaruf ba'alil haaretz. It's like silver that's been purified ba'alil, clearly in the ground. The word alil shows up in the Mishnayot. It means clearly. Mezukak shivataim. It's been purified sevenfold. What does it mean that God's saying has been purified sevenfold? So here there are different midrashim. There's one midrash that says that when God gave the Torah to Moshe, God showed him the laws of logic which he could use to learn the Torah, how to apply the Torah's laws to new questions. Mm-hmm. And with those laws of logic, God showed him how he could take any new question that arises and use the different logical proofs and bring 49 proofs to say mutar, permissible. And bring another 49 logical proofs from other sources to say asur, that is forbidden. So mizukak, the Torah is purified sevenfold, 49 different ways. So Moshe turned to God and he said, okay, so if I could logically prove in 49 ways that the law is this way, and in 49 ways that the law is the other way, how do I ever come to a conclusion? So God told Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, that's why you take the Sanhedrin with you, achei rabim natot. I created mankind, that each one has a different way to apply logic that seems 100% logical to him. And after a person has purified himself, and after a person has made sure that he is impartial, and that he isn't coming out of preconceived notions, but rather is approaching the Torah with the purity of thought that he has attained, and our sages did attain purity of thought, using their pure logic, they still will be different, because the human factor is such that what I think is 100% logical, more logical, you will think that something else is 100% logical, more logical. So I'll say, yeah, I hear the logic in your proof, but I think my proof is more logical, stronger. And you'll say, yeah, I hear the logic in your proof, but I think my proof is stronger. And then God said, you know how you decide what the halacha is? You take a Bezdin, 71 people, you take a Bezdin, you, a Sanhedrin, a Bezdin, and you say, where does the majority opinion lie? So here the Torah is, God's word is mizukat shivatayim, it's purified sevenfold. It's 49 different ways in which it could go. So God says, between all that, it'll be purified that the Sanhedrin, achei rabim natot, that's how you decide what the halacha is. There's another medrash that says that David HaMelech in his time tried to further Jewish education as best as he could. And he was successful. He had the children in his day, the children before they knew what it meant to sin, every child knew 49 different ways to say that something was pure, 49 different ways to say, to prove what was impure. They knew the laws of Tumah and Tahah, they knew the laws of purity, which are complicated laws, backward and forward. So David HaMelech is saying, this generation I've tried to ensure that the children are pure. They know Torah very, very well. Ata Hashem, says the next verse, Tishmerem, protect them. Titzerenu, watch over them. Min hado zu, from this generation, olam forever. David HaMelech is saying, I see the generation I live in. People are constantly speaking badly. Our sages say, why is it that in David HaMelech's time he had such great tzaddikim in his army, and yet when they went out to war, people died? And Ahav, a few generations later, he's a wicked king. He's not so wicked, but his wife murders the Nevi'im, God's prophets. She brings in, he marries a woman from Tzidonim, from Tzidon, from the north, a Gentile woman who brings in idol worship to the country and brings the false prophets of the Baal, and only Eliyahu remains, plus another 100 prophets, 50 were hidden in one cave, 50 were hidden in another cave. And yet when Ahav goes to war, with all the idol worship that was happening in the land, Ahav never lost a man, never lost a soldier. When they went to war, they were always successful. So the Gemara asks, the Yerushalmi asks, why is it that Ahav was so successful, and David HaMelech, as successful as he was with his wars, they'd lose people when they went to war? So the Gemara says that David HaMelech, when he went to war, we see that there was constant inner strife. People were saying bad things about one another. Even during David HaMelech's reign, you had this one saying bad things about that one. There was inner strife. And when we're not unified, so God says, you'll succeed at war, but soldiers will fall because you're not unified. In Ahab's time, the people were serving idols. They weren't serving God the way they should. They served God and they served the idol of Baal. But we see the people were unified. When Eliyahu has that famous showdown with Ahab, when Ahab brings the prophets of the Baal and they establish an altar, and Eliyahu establishes an altar for God, and they bring a sacrifice and they start praying to their God and say, bring down fire from heaven, and nothing happens. And then Eliyahu stands up after all day they've been trying to get fire to appear. They had a gimmick they tried to work
and God made a miracle, it wouldn't work for them. And Elio says, I have remained alone, the prophet for Hashem. That's it, I'm the only prophet left for Hashem. All the Jews are standing around. Ahav thinks he really is the last prophet that hasn't been murdered. And all the Jews know that there are 100 prophets being hidden in caves. Why do they know? Because it was time of famine. No one had food. And yet, Ovadia, the one faithful servant of Ahav's, who was really a God-fearing person, a ger, Ovadia was constantly going out to take loans and to buy food to sustain these 100 prophets. He was the one that hid 50 in this cave, 50 in that cave, and kept feeding them. So everyone knew that there were 100 prophets being hidden in caves. And yet, Eliyahu could stand up before the Jewish people and say, testify before Ahav and say, I have remained alone, the prophet for Hashem. I'll take on all these prophets of the Baal and you'll see I'll win. And no one says a word. No one says, oh, I'll tell Ahav, I'll get on his good side, I'll give away what's going on. Why? Because in Ahav's generation, the people, as sinful as they were unified. And so when Ahav went to war, as sinful as Ahav was, Ahav and his men, as much as they served idols, at the end of the day, they didn't lose a soldier. So David HaMelech is praying, he's saying, I recognize this generation. My generation, what did David HaMelech focus in this chapter? About the way they speak, how they say Lashon Hara, they speak badly about one another. So he says, these children who I've ensured they got a good education, before they've tasted any sin, they already know the Torah backwards and forwards. God protect them from the generation. They shouldn't learn from their bad ways. They should be good people and kind people to one another. Saviv Rasheim Italachun, the wicked surround and go around and around. Kirum Zulut Livne Adam. Specifically when they see Kirum, the uplifting of Zulut, a person that was until now Zol, was cheap in the, among the eyes of people. When they see a guy who, oh, yesterday he was just like me, today suddenly he's king. Everyone looked at David and they said, ah, he was a shepherd. David's king. So people pounced on him. People don't like when they see someone from the common folk jumping, suddenly your next door neighbor is president. Who's he? I know him. He doesn't know anything better than I do. Why is he the president? So then people have it in for him. So David HaMelech is saying, save these children because this is the situation. You have the Rasham surrounding and trying to bring people down. Yeah, sorry Yosef. Yeah.
So here you made the point about that David would see very important to teach the kids, not even adults, this idea of back and forth, this intellectual back and forth argument, arguing you, let's say, or 49 reasons against or 49 reasons to support a certain argument. And he saw that as a very important tool, the rationale and logic.
Okay.
You see, so how far? It's very interesting. I mean, how far do we keep doing that today? I mean, you see that at least I don't know if it's, perhaps this was at that time there were at a certain level. I don't know how we can apply it. Is it more that today it's much more to down to halacha?
That's part of a bigger question about education.
It's fascinating how to be able to support something that's against what the halakha is or what it is. So there's an importance in that.
It was important to develop their logic. It was important to develop their understanding of Torah and their application of the laws of the logic of Torah. Beyond that is a general question about chinuch, which on a Thursday night. Okay.